Well, hello, and thank you for joining us. Here we are on Chaf Aleph Adar, Tafshin Pei Gimel, March 14th, 2023, learning about Bitachon from the Orchos Tzadikim. And we're up to the following pasuk about Avraham Avinu. Today we're discussing what a wonderful virtue it is, what a midah it is, to have emunah, to believe in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's existence and his divine intervention and his involvement in every single affair of our lives. And how that leads to Bitachon. The Avraham Ne'amar. It says about Avraham Avinu in the Torah. And it's in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Vav, in Sefer Bereishis. Behemin b'Hashem. And Avraham Avinu believed in Hashem by Achshavel lo tzedakah. And he thought of it to him, he considered to him as a righteous deed, the fact that he had emunah. That statement, says the Aruch HaTzadikim, Ya'kol ha'tovos un'nichtav kein. About all the wonderful things that Avraham Avinu accomplished, it is not written such a thing, that Hashem thought of it to him, considered to him as tzedakah, as a righteous deed, exceedingly righteous, that he had emunah. Ya'al Moshe nichtav, and also it's written about Moshe Rabbeinu, Bamidbar Yedbei Zayin, Parshas Baloscha, after we know that Miriam and Aaron criticized Moshe's separation from Tzipporah, according to the most popular pshat that Rashi brings from Chazal. Hashem said to Miriam and to Aaron, you can't say Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not like every other Navi. So you cannot criticize him. The fact that he separated from Tzipporah, and it was also endorsed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol beis yinem anhu. It says, lo kein avdi Moshe. Moshe is not like all the other prophets. In my whole house, b'chol beisi, in my household, kaviyachol. Ne'aman hu, he's trustworthy. He's a ne'aman. Now what does that mean, that Moshe Rabbeinu can be depended upon? He's ne'aman. One explanation we could use is found based in Maseches Avos. If you look in the sixth parak of Avos, we know that in Pirkei Avos, the sixth parak is Brisos, they're not actually Mishnayis. And in there, in the beginning, it talks about, it's about Kinyan Torah, how to acquire Torah properly. A person who learns Torah lishma, it's Reb Meir Omer. Reb Meir says, "Kol ha'osek b'Torah lishma." Anybody who learns Torah for the sake of Torah, to know Torah, to love it, to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's one way to explain Torah lishma. Zocha the devarim harbe. The person merits many things, many advantages, many qualities. Umachshar to lihios, and among those items, it says when a person learns Torah lishma, it prepares him and qualifies him to be, among others, a ne'aman. He becomes a ne'aman. Now that word ne'aman is just like what Hashem said about Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Baloscha. When Hashem was telling Miriam and Aaron that Moshe Rabbeinu stands apart from the other prophets, he's a ne'aman. But what is a ne'aman? Let's translate it. The Tiferes Yisrael, one of the classic Neforshim, explains in Avos that a ne'aman, he is ne'aman v'derech chaya. What does that mean, that he's trustworthy, he can be depended upon for the way of his life? He's consistent. He works on consistency. He's someone who can depend on. He's always there, ready to communicate. This is why he has to be ready 24-7 for Nevuah. By most Rabbeinu, he's a ne'aman. That's the same ne'aman that it talks about in Avos, in the sixth parak, in the Brisos, in the first one, in Aleph, that when a person learns Torah lishma, which certainly Moshe Rabbeinu did, you become a ne'aman. So we're comparing the word ne'aman in the Torah, Parshas Baloscha, and finding a definition where it uses the word ne'aman in the Torah Shtaval Peh, in Avos, Perek Vav, in the Brisa. The Tiferes Yisrael explains that when a person learns Torah lishma, and it's machshar to lios, and it prepares him, qualifies him, to be many, many virtues, but one of them is a ne'aman. He's ne'aman the derechai. But what does that mean? Sheyehei Eitan Berucho. It's the word Eitan or Eitan. You know anybody named Eitan? What does that mean? Oh, we know that Eitan means courageous, fearless. The Avos are called that. Avas Eitan. Odis Karlanu. Avas Eitan. We say in the Davening Yom Noroi, Eitan is the great, fearless, courageous. Avraham Avinu. Eitan means a person who is undaunted by challenges. He's not pushed aside. He's not swayed. It's something you work on for a whole life. But that's what a Neman is, because I can depend on this person to perform, to deliver, because the person's trying for consistency. Eisan Berucha, that's what Neman is. Like a solid wall. B'nai Yisrael are compared to a tamar. Zos kol masech dam sal v'samar. You might know the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. This is your pasture, Klal Yisrael. You're compared to a date palm tree. What is it about a date palm tree? Tall, straight and firm, unwavering, unmoving, not swayed by influences that are against Torah. Below yuchra al yedei hayetzer, will not be swayed, will not be moved aside through the evil impulse, the thing that tries to get us. We know the evil impulse is not evil. It's a malach. It's beautiful. It's good. It gets us to grow, but it gets us to do things that are against the Torah. But Neman means eisan berucho, that the person is not swayed, is not pushed aside, is not sidetracked by all types of influences. Ayideh hayetzer or mikre hazman. Oh, mikre hazman. That's a big one. The happenings of the time, the occurrences, the vicissitudes of life that we encounter every day. A person has to work on, I need to work on being a Neman. It says that b'chol beisi Neman hu, and that's when a person he learns Torah Lishma, becomes a Neman. This reminds me of a story that happened. I was once in a doctor's office, and I was having a small procedure done, and I said to the doctor, is it possible that I could have some local anesthesia for this? And the nurse was standing right there, and she looked me squarely in the eyes and said, men are such wimps. I hope that the word wimp is not offensive to you. It's not really part of my vocabulary, but it kind of became peripherally part of it that day. I said to myself, now that's a very interesting lesson. Without getting into men being wimps, whatever that all means, anesthesia, procedures, that's not the point. The point is that we have to take this idea and to not be that person who can be swayed, if some people want to call it a wimp, a weak person. No, we have to be strong, like Zos Kol Masech Damsal the Samar, like it says in Shir Hashirim. I need to be a straight, erect, tall, proud date palm tree. So when a challenge comes along, I'm not going to be derailed. I'm not going to be sidetracked. So it says B'chol Beisi Nemanu. But what's the shoresh? What does it have to do with anything? It's about emuna. That's what the Aruch HaTzaddikim is telling us. If we have emuna, then we're a Neman, because he's putting it in the parak about emuna. He's saying Avraham Avinu believed in the Ribbono Shalom. Well, we don't have that much effort to do. Look at the Ribbono Shalom's divine intervention and providence, what he does with us. And that makes us a Neman. We have emuna that way. Look back at our lives. Count how many times a minute our heart beats, how many times over 50 years our heart beats. The Ribbono Shalom is allowing that to happen. He's causing it to happen. It's Hashgacha Pratis, because we know that sometimes it goes wrong, Chas V'Shalom. When my mother, Aleha Shalom, was ill, so I got a call from the doctor, and he said, you know, your mother's okay right now, but I just want you to know that in the middle of the night, for a brief moment, her heart stopped for maybe a split second. Now it's fine, though. So there was a discussion on how to proceed. But I said to myself, these are reminders to us that the Ribbono Shalom is causing our heart to beat and for us to continue to function. And that's what Emunah is about. That's what's called Hashem is intimately involved in everything we do. And I also want to quote one more time my father-in-law, Shalom Livin Buell, who always says that Hashem micromanages all our affairs. If a person thinks about this, analyzes it, becomes a Neman. The person can be depended upon. The person is Eisan Berucho, is powerful, is fearless, is ferocious. We can forge ahead in the battlefield of life. Sometimes it's a battlefield, so we can keep moving forward. B'Amrin of the Medrash says, Archos Tadikim. We say in the Medrash, and it's in the Medrash Rabbah in Shmos, Gedola Hamun, how great is faith. What a wonderful midah it is, b'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of Hashem, shebizchus ho'amuna, that in the merit of faith, she'aminu avoseinu, that our fathers had faith and belief in Hashem, sharsa aleihem ruach HaKodesh, the divine intuition rested upon them, ruach HaKodesh, ba'amru shira, and they were able to say oz yashir. Because if you think about it, how were they all able to say this song at the Yom Suf the way they did? It was a new dimension of comprehension that they all were able to attain at that moment. Shinemar, it says, where do we see such a thing, though? Where do you see that Amunah led to Ruach HaKodesh and then led to ecstatic song that they verbalized, that they sang, they expressed as the Yamsu. Shenemar, Shmos Yedal Laman Aleph. It's in Parshas Bishalach by Oz Yashir and Tesla Aleph. Vayaminu Vashem of Moshe Abdo. And they believed in Hashem and in Moshe as servant, as his faithful servant. Oz Yashir Moshe of Bnei Israel. Then the Bnei Israel sang. Moshe and Bnei Israel sang. One thing led to the other one. It's not a coincidence. It's a seamless entry into the song. Because after that Amuna, they were moved so much to the proper frame of mind that they were able to break out in spontaneous praise and song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they also were redeemed in the merit of the faith that they believed. It's written, Shmos Da'od Lamed Aleph, in Parsha Shmos, Vayam Ein Ha'am, the people believed. Now I know what you're thinking. Everybody knows the Gemara Sota. It says, in whose merit were we redeemed from Mitzrayim? We're coming up to Pesach now, so this is good material for the Pesach. We know in the Zechus of the Noshim Tidkanios. Is that Emunah? Of course it's Emunah. The Noshim Tidkanios, the righteous women, they were able to see beyond the moment. They were the people who, as the Tiferes Yisrael explained earlier in the Brice on Avos, were Eis on Verucho. They were absolutely courageous. They were absolutely fearless. Because what did they say? Their husbands are saying, well, let's calculate this. Should we continue to procreate if the children are getting thrown into the Nile and cemented into walls with bricks? Doesn't seem to make very much sense. It doesn't look very sensible to do that. And what did the Nashim Tikhanios do? Forget all about that calculation. No. We have Emunah, what we call Emunah Pshuta. It's straight. The simplest Emunah they call Emunah Pshuta is the most profound. The profundity is indescribable. Their Emunah goes all the way to the end of time. That's where we're sitting here. Why are we here having a bitachon about? It's because the Nashim Tidkanios had that Emunah, and they said, we will continue. We will persevere. We will be victorious. We will overpower and overcome the Mitzrayim. Continue to have children. The Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of it. We know the Gemara says that Malachim came, and they took care of the children. The women had to abandon them at times because it was dangerous. So this is all having to do with Emunah. Vayamein ha'am, that pasuk in Shmos Da'od Lamanal, that goes ahead and summarizes the zchus we had to leave Mitzrayim. This galus also, because I'll say that the first galus was the prototype for this galus. It was a template for the last galus. And that's why we also need similar ingredients to get out of this galus. We're always hoping this is the last time we should be in Chutz La'aretz, that we should be in galus. For any Yom Tov, especially Pesach, Mitzvah Hashem, Yom Risham, and Chazal said further, Kol HaMakabel, Mitzvah Achas Be'amuna, anybody who accepts one mitzvah with faith. Now, what is that supposed to mean? The person does the mitzvah, and he says, you know what? I'm continuing in the unbroken chain of Shmiras Mitzvos. We're keeping all the mitzvos, the precepts of the Torah. Since it was given at Sinai, we have a collective memory of Klal Yisrael. And you know what? If you want to get rational and scientific about it, look at some lineage in genealogy. Not that many generations back to Matan Torah. We're remembering that we had Matan Torah. We all stood there. A person who accepts the mitzvah be'amunah with faithfulness, with devotion, with concentration on the unbroken chain of fulfillment of mitzvos, Kedai hu shetishra olav ruach hakodesh, then the Holy Spirit of Hashem, that divine intuition, it's definitely worthy that it should rest upon him, the way that it did with Bnei Yisrael by the Yamsu. V'agalu yos miskansos bizchus ha'amuna. We really, really need it. It says the exiles are gathered in Eretz Yisrael in the merit of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But where does it say that Amuna is going to help us get out of this galus, out of the exile? Shenemar, as it says in Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet, and it's in Pasuk Ches, Tashuri. Now, what does the word Tashuri mean? Anybody want to try to translate it? A little bit of an elusive term, Tashuri. Well, we're going to see very soon that it means a lashon of seeing or gazing. You will see, you will gaze, you will reflect, Merosh Amana, from the beginning of faith. What is going on in this Pasuk? If you look at Rashi and Shir HaShirim, he explains, Tashuri Merosh Amana, it's in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Ches in Shir HaShirim. We've said many times that Shir HaShirim is like our national poem, our national anthem. It's the love expression between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, and also the reciprocal one from Bnei Yisrael to Hashem. Rashi explains, Tashuri me rosh amana bekabtzi es nidachayich. When I gather in those of you who are pushed away in galus, you're scattered in exile. Tistakli, you will see, you will reflect. Tashuri in the pasuk is a lesson of reflection, of looking. Tistakli, this is bonini. You will contemplate. You will analyze in your mind. Maschar pulaseich. What is the reward for your action? May reishis ha'amuna, from the beginning of the amuna, the faith you had. Tashuri, you will reflect and think about. May rosh amana, the reward for having had faith in the beginning. That's reishis ha'amuna. The word amana is like amuna. That you, Bnei Yisrael, believed in me. We're all capable of it. We did it right when we left Mitzrayim. We certainly can do that now. You believed in me, Hashem says. The fact that you walked after me into something that was mysterious. It was a wilderness. It was a desert. But you were guided by someone who was a Neman, by Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Emunah you had in the Ribono Shel Olam, by Amen Ha'am. And also your travels and your encampments based on my command. We know we had the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire that guided us constantly. So what's the meaning of this pasuk? Tashuri, you will see. Now, where do you see that it's a lesson of seeing? You know that it's, for example, in Parshas Balak, where Bilam says, Ashurenu v'lo atah, etc. I will see it, I will see the nation, but not now. Lashur. We also have it in Chazaras Hashat, in the Yom Noroim, where the Chazan says, Shur b'shiflusi, look, Hashem, at my lowliness. So there's a lesson of seeing, and it's this Tashuri, this is the Shorish we're talking about, Shur. So it says in Shir HaShirim that at the end of time, which should be very soon, hopefully, when Mashiach comes and brings us in, Tashuri, you as a nation, will look, you'll see, you'll comprehend, you'll fathom me rosh amana, the zechus you had in the beginning of your faith, when it was worth it. It was worth it. It's worth it to have emuna. It really is, because the rewards come. It yields amazing reward for us. It's going to be the coming in out of the galus. That's the zechus that brings us back. So shuri me rosh amana. The Omer, and it says in Hosea beis chapez, another pasuk in the Treyasar, be'rastich li be'emuna. The vir is the Lashon Asid, it's the future tense, with the Shva. And I will engage you to me, Hashem says, be'emuna, in the merit of faith. Hashem says, you're my Kala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chasan, B'nai Yisrael is the Kala. Hashem says, because of emuna, I will wed you to me. A Lashon of Erusin, I will halachically engage you to me. Obviously, it's figurative, but you are my Kala. And the Ribono Shel Olam and B'nai Yisrael were married. That is a metaphor. But it says be'emun, it's because of faith. Comes along the Orach HaTzadikim and says, V'ata nachzor l'inyan hasimcha. Now that we've talked about emuna and bitachon at great length, we're going to go back to the topic of joy. Because we've said before that emuna and bitachon yield a precious, indescribable, unmatched reward. And that's called simcha. Let's go back to the inyan of simcha now, says the Orach HaTzadikim, because after all, we are in what's called the Shar HaSimcha. We're in the gate that's all about joy in that section. K'amamin b'leiv shalem, because the one who believes in Hashem with the full heart, which takes work, it takes practice, it takes perseverance, and a person has to work on it consistently. And there are ups and downs that are very dramatic. Hamamin b'leiv shalem, the one who believes with a full heart. Babo teach be'ezer hatzur, and the one who trusts in the help of the rock, which is Hashem. I cannot do it without Hashem. And I know that this is my rock. This is my stability. This is my foundation. This is my success. Hu sameach la'olam. The person who is in that state of emunah and bitachon automatically is constantly besimcha, is joyous, is ecstatic. This is the ideal existence that we need to have. It's healthier for, everybody knows, mind, body, and of course, neshama. who sameach la'olam. If he's mamin b'leif shalem, that means that he activates his cognition. He thinks about it. He wraps his head around it and understands that Hashem is with us. Rabotech be'ezer hatzur, the one who trusts, places his trust in the help of Hashem. Who sameach la'olam is constantly, consistently, incessantly joyous. Who sovel kadaver, and this person is able to tolerate and endure everything. Let's talk about sovel. Sevel, there's a section in the Sefer called Milos Hamidos, written by Arishon. He talks all about sevel. What is sevel? It's endurance, tolerance. That means, yes, there were bumps in the road. There are potholes. There are times that we literally can go airborne, out of control. Reminds me of a story that I was telling one of my kids. When I was in yeshiva, of course, Bachrim need to get places sometimes, and Bachrim, most of the time, in my yeshiva world, don't have their own cars. It's totally fine. We understand that. So I would rent cars, just like many people do, occasionally, and not necessarily renting a new car, because you can save a lot of money by not renting a new car. So, of course, there's the famous or infamous rent a wreck. And then there were just other companies or businesses or private individuals who would rent cars that were the same as a rent-a-wreck. I remember, and in Muncie, near the yeshiva, near Rabbi Wein's yeshiva, there was a person, he happened to be my driver ed teacher also, when I was 16 years old, he had a business, like a kind of private business, that he would rent cars that were not in a tip-top shape, and therefore he was able to do it in an inexpensive way. So one time I rented one of his cars. I don't remember the make and model. It was on the small side, and I was driving to Manhattan for some shidduch dating. And if you've ever driven from Muncie to Manhattan, you might have taken the FDR Drive, if I remember this correctly. And I do remember that on the FDR Drive, the road also needed some work, besides that the car needed some work. The combination was not ideal. And I remember there was literally a bump in the road, and I do remember the feeling of going airborne in that vehicle. And I said, ah, this is like being on an airplane. And then, Baruch Hashem, I landed not that long after going airborne. Baruch Hashem, everything was fine. I was still on the road, all four wheels. Well, that was a major bump in the road. Comes along the Orach HaTzaddikim and says that there are bumps in the road all the time. V'usovel called davar. But there's something called savlanus. Savlanus means endurance, tolerance, forbearance. So what will happen is if something comes up and it's a bump in the road, it's an impediment, it's a distraction, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be shattered. Again, I don't have to be derailed by it. I can be sovel. I can swallow it. I can process it and use it as an avoda. Well, my Rebbe, when I was in yeshiva, I had a Rebbe 3 years in Beis Medrash. His name is Harav Avraham Maimon Shlita. He's a Ben Achar Ben from the Rambam. I had him in 12th grade, but then again in Beis Medrash for 2 years right after that. The first 3 years of Beis Medrash, that included 12th grade, because we began Beis Medrash program in 12th grade. And my Rebbe, Rabbi Maimon Shlita, he saw that I was upset about something. I was disturbed about it. So I said, Rebbe, this is depressing what I'm going through right now, and I don't know what to do really. So he said, Moish, you should know that you could use even the depression as an avoda. That can be an avoda. In other words, the fact that you're withstanding and you're weathering a storm, that's also an avoda. So if you go airborne on a bump in the road, that's also an avoda. And there are so many metaphors for this, so many analogies, and they've been used a lot of times, but I think that we understand the point. So we love this idea, who sovel called dover. The person says, you know what? I'm going to wake up today. I'm not going to have anxiety. I'm not going to have trepidation and worry and concern about what's going to come up today. You know why? Because I have a policy. I will do my best to be sovel. I will try to tolerate everything, but not only will I perform despite these challenges, you know what I'm about to say, I will perform better because of the challenges. If I go airborne, I can go higher. I can go ahead and grow from them. sovel kol davar. Kama cholech. Here's the Orchos Tzadikim's comparison. Just like the ill person, she'okel samim hamorim, who eats bitter medicines and potions, bishvil harefuah, for the sake of healing purposes, to be cured. It does not taste good right now. It's bitter. But it leads to sweetness. It leads to relief. It's beautiful. Basovel. Okay, here comes something powerful now. The one who endures and is tolerant, who chafshi midagas ha'olam. Boy, do I want to digest that phrase. Let's take that phrase. Let's swallow it, metabolize it, assimilate it. The one who's tolerant and enduring is chafshi. What does chafshi mean? The person is free. We all want to be free people. That's the human dream. We don't want to be slaves to a yetzahara, slaves to depression, slaves to our emotions. We want to be liberated from our emotions. We want to be emancipated from our emotions that pull us down. We know that only Torah does it. Period. It says in the Maseches Avos. Charus al haluchos. It says the writing on the tablets is etched onto the tablets, but it says ein lecha ben charen. The only free person is the person who learns Torah, who labors and toils in Torah. We're learning Torah's Hamusar right now. So it says, you want to be chafshi? You want to be a free person? I want to be a free man. I definitely want to be free. I do not want to be a slave. I don't want to be subservient to anybody or anything except the Kodesh Baruch Hu. By being subservient to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we know it says Avadayhem. Hashem says they're my servants. Below Avadim, Avadim. Only servants to Hashem, not to servants or any other factors in the world. That's what real true freedom is. Hashem tells us how to be free. That you have to obviously be committed to some lifestyle, some kind of structure and discipline. That's a human need for happiness and for freedom. So it says, Astova, the one who is enduring, the one who's patient, the one who's tolerant, as opposed to being impatient and angry and intolerant, this person is chafshi, is free. We want to be free. He's chafshi midagas ha'olam, from worries of the world, from mundane types of concerns and anxieties. That's what I want to be. That's why I'm learning this. I want to be chafshi midagas ha'olam. I can say from this moment on, I will be free. I just freed myself from the shackles of worry and from anxiety because you know what? I will be as sovel as much as I can. I will endure. I will tolerate. I'll be patient. We know that patience is the olive base. Have a mesunim badin, the first mitzvah in Maseches Avos. We've said it so many times, not just in court cases, but Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, to be patient in din. How do we judge the world? Be patient. That's part of savlanus. Sovel is to be enduring, patient, tolerant, and it says it about din. But it's not just court cases we know. It's judging people. It's judging the world. We need to love people. We need to love the Ribbono Shelolam and love the world that he created. Chafshi midagas ha'olam, to be free from worries of the world. Gam hasovel, also the one who's tolerant and enduring and patient, mistapek b'ma'atche yeshlo, is satisfied with the small amount that he has. What this person has, it might not be that it's such a great amount of luxury the person has or extras, but he is tolerant and therefore it's enough for him. Kiyomar, because the person will say, Dai li b'masha gazar li habori. It's enough for me with what the Creator decreed for me. Even, and I heard from Rav Mordechai Schwab Zatzal, I told you before, he heard it in common, it's in Europe, probably from Rav Baruch Ber, that there's something called Sameach b'chelko ruchni also, even in spirituality to a degree. In neshama area, the person has to be Sameach b'chelko. What does that mean, Sameach b'chelko, happy with his lot? I have limits, even in how much learning I can do, and even in maybe certain fulfillments of mitzvot, that's between the person and Hashem, and that I'm also happy about. I'm also satisfied, and I'm trying always to do better, and that's a little bit of a dangerous concept, because Sameach l'chalko doesn't mean, oh, kind, oh, I'll just learn a little bit, do a little bit of mitzvot, and I'll be happy. No, no, no. There's obviously need guidance there, but I can't be down on myself. I cannot condemn myself, just like I cannot condemn others. Because I'm not capable of more. I know what I'm capable of. It's between me and Hashem. It's also a life's work to figure out. So today what we saw was the great Schar for Amunah, and it can help us
and the gullus that we're in, I think we all agree that gullus really, really needs to end. So it should be Toshuri Merosh Hamana. You will see when Hashem brings us back that in the beginning, the faith we had when we came out of Mitzrayim and the Emunah we have now is a huge mammoth zuchus that our gullus should end as soon as possible, especially as the month of Nisan comes up. And it's a very auspicious time for Geula. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful week.